Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's not the first time we've been here on the Sunday Wrap talking about Captain James Tedesco. How about him? 176 points. A lot of loopers, a lot of people that just straight out captained him. Made or broke your week. Who knows, but hopefully you all jumped on the ship. He was a very, very big candidate for the captaincy this week and showed just how good he is in this game. Been down. Been a bit down, old Teddy. So good to see him finally bounce back. Crushed the Broncos. Poor old hapless Broncos it was. JT here with the Sunday Wrap to go through all it was in round 16. Of course, we have to start right off the bat with Teddy. It's all anyone's talking about. Quite a few weeks for him, but bounced back in a very, very big way. But the game goes beyond him, and there's obviously a fair bit of injury talk at the moment, some suspensions we'll get through. Some big scores floating around the traps, some disappointing flops this week as well. A lot of big names on that list. To round out the week. So we'll go through them all, rocker, flopper, shocker, trade fail, and the game by game. I'm a little bit weary, so I'll try to rush through it. It's been a big big weekend. We've had a 36-hole day of golf with Wennen and a few of the other boys yesterday. A few refreshments were sunk, not a lot of decent scores, but by the end, who cares? Big night out on the town. So I think all three or four of us were relatively in bed for a fair chunk of today. So here, I'll see it all the way through Sunday night. Here we go. Rocker of the week, James Tedesco, right off the bat. Wasn't going to be anyone else. 176 points. Every single stat in the book, just about, I think. Tries, try assist. And I guess speaking of tries, it's his first for quite some time. I think it's 6 weeks. It's been a bit of a dry spell for Teddy. So he's been setting them up. He set 5 of them up, in fact, on this night out he had down in Sydney. Finally scored one of his own. And, yeah, just absolutely major week if you stuck the captaincy on him. Having a look around, some of the scores that you're seeing as well, there's a few 1400s poking their head in. I've seen around the traps there's got to be some 1500s, you'd imagine. I think most people ended up around that 1250 mark, I'd say, before updates over these final couple of games. If you've hit 1,300, you've done pretty well. Obviously had Teddy. So I think anyone who didn't have Tedesco on, you've cleared 1,200. You've done pretty well for yourself there. As we gear up into head-to-head finals, what a huge couple of weeks it's coming up to be as the season draws to a close. Flopper of the week. This is a interesting candidate here. Not a lot of huge scores, or one that I really expected to see a little bit better in this week was Kalyn Ponga. 31 points only against the Warriors. Sunny old day out at Tamworth. Good to see the game get out there. But Ponga, absolutely MIA, completely outclassed by the Warriors, and his opposite number, Tuivasa Sheck, who was killing it on the day. So Ponga, a rare miss for him, 31 points. Ouch. And shocker of the week, well, this guy I think is an absolute, he cursed us all last year. He was in and out of the side. He was getting 20s when he was there, even playing at fullback. But I don't know, where Corey Allen, Corey mother effing Allen, 104 points, had to fill in for the injured Latrell Mitchell halfway through the game. But before that was scoring tries, setting him up, doing everything we would have hoped for him last year when he was actually relevant in the game. But Corey Allen had a game to remember for him. Hopefully that kick starts something for him in his career. But 2019's flopper of the year, Corey Allen, coming out of the woodwork to absolutely shock it with 104 points. And finally, trade fail. Had a quick look here at some of my some of the biggest scores just to see who'd been traded out. Josh Adokar had an absolute blinder. Thankfully played him this week, 140-odd. Against Manly up on the sunny coast there. But unfortunately for a couple of super coaches, they decided to go Weird sort of option here. Trade out Josh Adokar this week for Billy Kickow, who didn't play. So I'm not sure what was going on there. Probably live to regret that one. Not sure what the go was there, but just getting Billy in time for finals, I guess. But that one will absolutely sting. What's doing, champion? Injuries and suspensions. Well, we talk about this every single week. There's just a mountain to get through here. We'll start with suspensions. Out of today's game, didn't see too much wrong there. We'll wait for Monday for those charges. But for the rest of the weekend, Cohen Hess, 1 week for a crusher tackle. Pasami Solo, 1 week for dangerous contact. Both will be 1 week regardless of the plea. Joffa Hengawi, another week for him on the sidelines. Dangerous contact. So it could have... avoided suspension, but has a bit of a prior record. So it was a bit of a poor form for him there. Sam Lozano, 1 week as well for dangerous contact. So, dropping like flies, a couple of one-week bans there. For the injury list, well, this one just keeps growing. Unfortunately, I guess the big talking point was Latrell Mitchell. He's finally looking settled in that fullback role, doing some great things. The Bunnies were tailing up. Latrell was on the back of a lot of it. Still wasn't running and all that kind of thing, but geez, he had a very awkward fall in a tackle. I think it was Jackson Paulo, fell pretty much body weight on top of his hamstring and it went ping, a very loud ping. He's gone for about 4 to 6 months, I think was the prognosis for him. So that's a very bitter pill for owners of Latrell and himself, I guess, that rules him out of origin, that kind of thing. So terrible luck for him. He was looking like having a very big game here. Unfortunately, that's the way footy goes. A couple of other season injuries here. Marion Seve looks like he's done his ACL. In today's game, he will go for the year. Michael Morgan, my boy, done his calf, pretty bad one, 3 to 4 weeks. So might make it back for our grand final against the Broncos in round, whatever it is, 20. Absolute wooden spoon bowl material, that stuff. Can't wait. Who else have we got here? Dylan Brown, nasty little ankle injury for him. He's still an indefinite. Looks like he might miss the rest of the year, though. It was a pretty rough fall. Ben Teo's done his wrist against the Roosters. Mitch Barnett, interesting one here, picked up a sternum injury in the game against the Warriors, played out the game, did miss about 20 or so minutes on the sidelines, just pain management. So going forward, looks like NRL physio says it's more of a pain management thing than a structural thing. So might be 1 week on the sidelines for him, if anything. Naz, Asofa Solomona, was in try-scoring form today. He bounced over the line, got a try, but done his calf in the process, so 1 to 3 weeks. Not that they'll find someone, I'm sure, to fill those boots. Curtis Scott rolled his ankle in today's game. He got replaced by Matty Tomoko in his debut, so played out probably 45 minutes of that one before he had to go off the field. And Ruben Garrick did his shoulder. He's gone for 2 to 6 weeks pending scan results on Monday. A couple of big head knocks as well. And I guess the biggest one was Isaiah Yeo. Very, very nasty looking one there. Couldn't stand. He had to get assisted from the field there by teammates and opposition. It was a very, very nasty one. We know he's got a bit of a history with them. So hopefully, fingers crossed, he can get on the men quickly. Probably not going to be this week because they've got a 5-day turnaround. So he's got to pass quite a few, I think it's 6 stages of protocol assessments and all that kind of thing. So you'd think they'll play it safe with him and he'll probably miss a week. Hopefully no longer than that. I think that's the injuries we've gone through. There's a fair chunk of them. Obviously, the Trell's highlighted in that list there. A lot of players to move on and move around over the coming weeks. Dylan Brown as well. That's a bit of an awkward one if you've still held on to him. But, definitely opening up the back end of the year. There's a lot of pod players going around, and a lot of them are due to these bloody injuries. But a few on the horizon for next week. SJ obviously missed this week with a reoccurrence of his groin issue, so restrained it during the week. He'll be touch and go, I think, for this week. Payne Haas coming back as well. Great news for anyone that's a bit short of front rowers. So good to see Payne back and a few cavalry returning. All righty, we'll take a quick break, come back and do the game by game, look at all the games that were and the good and the bad coming from them.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Alrighty, back to do the eight games that were in round 16. Start with the Bunnies getting the job done over the Eels. Big, big win here. 38-0. Absolutely, well, carnage. Like the Rabbitohs were just on absolute fire. The Eels, well, a bit of a reality check heading into the business end. Might be one of those losses that they needed to have. But yeah, unfortunately didn't go much right for them on the night. For the good here, plenty of Bunnies here. A-Ray, 123. Cody Walker, 102. Corey Allen, 104. Jackson Paulo, 100. And Campbell Graham, 96. Couldn't be the fifth one to raise the bat in this game here. But yeah, they were just lethal on the night, particularly Cody Walker, the way he was running the ball there, backing up on the inside. And Corey Allen, the way he was able to transition seamlessly into Latrell's shoes once he left. It was just, yeah, bloodbath for them, and it didn't let up. So obviously on the back of those, if anyone out there's got a Cody Walker, even an Adam Reynolds, bit of a pod play, but geez, they've gone big while some others have gone quiet this week. So great stuff from them. Cam Murray and Damien Cook, 77 and 71 respectively for those guys. Had a few nice upgrades in the old unicorn point stakes post game. Murray got a try assist off Cody Walker, so they rescored that one. He got it his way. Cook was, I would have said quiet. He was sitting on about 50 or so after the game, so had a pretty handy little update for him there for anyone that's gone the way of Cook. But yeah, it wasn't really running it too much. Didn't need to. All the play was off the back of the likes of Cody and Adam Reynolds. It was a lethal combination out there. Good to see for the Bunnies. Latrell Mitchell, 58, he was starting strong. He got a try assist early there, but obviously not helped by that injury there, unfortunately. Could have been anything if he had stayed out on the park. The other good here, Nathan Brown, did call him out as a potential play for this week. Didn't end up going with him, but got 74 points in 75 minutes, four offloads in that time as well. So he definitely had the arm free and was throwing it around. Wasn't much being created by Paris, so he was probably a lone hand in that regard. And Ryan Madison, he was still good, but quiet with 66. So in a well-beaten side, that's definitely a couple of handy scores for Para there. Some of the bad, Mitch Moses, 45 with a line break and a forced dropout. So just been a bit quiet lately, Mitch Moses. He's getting the odd attacking start or two, but nothing major yet, and that's another poor score for him there. Joseph Porter Jr., Paul, I should say, 47 in 50 minutes. Again, not getting a lot of work done, a lot of time spent behind the try line while he was on the field, so that doesn't help. The King Gutho, 38 points, and Mike Sivo, 26, very, very quiet. Sivo especially, he was very much a target heading into this back end of the year. We thought Parramatta were going to blow some opponents off the park there. They still might. Still got a handy run coming up. And Sivo was definitely front and center for the buyers there. Basically bottomed out. Well, what we thought was a bottom out in price was going all the right way. Unfortunately, not to be for owners of him. I don't think you're going to get much ball, quality ball from a guy like Michael Jennings inside you. He was an absolute killer for Sivo on the night. Ran infield and just avoided passing as much as he could. So unfortunately for anyone with Sivo, it didn't help his score at all. Basically just all hit-ups. So not a great one for him, but anyway, live to see another day. Titans 14, getting the Dragons done. 14-10, very surprising comeback win for the Titans here. It looked like the Dragons had sewn it up, but not to be. Titans showing a bit of grit, good to see. Some of the good, AJ Brimson, 88. What a, if you flicked him out or flicked SJ out for Brimson last week, what a return that's been, 90-odd and now an 88. Two clean line breaks for him this week after four last week. So he's just in. His running game is absolutely immense. And included a try assist. The try assist to, I think it was Peachy at the end there. Very handy score from him. Peachy as well spoke about him in the Wednesday pod, talking about him playing at lock. That was a bit of an interesting shift up. He's been pretty handy with tackle busts and offloads and that kind of thing when he's played a bench impact utility kind of role. This week he got 60 minutes at lock, did score the try, got 79 points. So a very handy return from him. Very much a pod play, but good to see for any Tyrone lovers. And Brian Kelly, 78, no tries or try assists from him either, but three line break assists. It's that combination out on the left wing there that just seems to reap a lot of rewards. Didn't last week, he had a quiet one, but bounced back big time here. If he's scoring a try there, that's 100+. So fantastic stuff for Brian Kelly there. And speaking of I wouldn't say lucky. He was pretty handy out there, but Bo Firma, 72 points. A lot of players, Supercoach players, might have had to stick this guy in as an auto emergency or just play him for to get the numbers up, and what a return that was. 72 points, got a try assist in that time there, just found himself in the right place at the right time. Did go off of around 15 minutes with an HIA, but came back on to see that score out. Finally, who else we got? Cam McInnes, 64 points. Had a line break assist in there, but again, a little quiet from him. So he tends to sit in that 60-point mark. It'd be nice to see a big game from him in the back end of the year, but I think most people have got him at this stage. So you'll take that. That's still pretty good in my books. And some of the bad here, well, he did get a handy upgrade because he was sitting on about 30-odd, but Zach Lomax, 46 points, all in base and three goals from him. Tyson Frizzell might be killing him. He just wasn't passing him the ball. He was taking a lot of runs himself. So talk about some Supercoach killers there. It might be Tyson in that regard. So Lomax has to come in and look for his work, and just didn't happen on the night here. But 46, again, if that's his floor, and it really is, because he's had quite a lot of quiet games, what we think would be quiet, and he ends up with 40 plus. So it's a great little basement score to have for a guy like him. Hopefully he bounces back. And Ewan Aitken is centre wing partner, 31 points. So again, not much Aitken could do on the night, not a lot going their way. Roosters getting the job done over the Broncos, 58 points to 12. Well, it was a bloodbath. We expected it. Delivered in every sense of the word. Good here. Teddy, obviously, 176. Won't go through the stats. There's just about every single one he ticked off. Tupanua, 124 points. He's holding down Angus Crichton's spot at the moment, while Crichton is well, basically perpetually 2 weeks away. It seems every single Tuesday team list is always a two-week away sort of wording around Crichton. So Tupanua definitely, that Broncos right side defense was just absolutely ordinary. Nothing much they could do to stop a couple of those runs, but some very, very soft tries in the end. And Tupanua scored a couple of them. David Fifita, 94, with a try and some unicorns in upgrades, sitting on about 70, went to 90 post-updates. But again, he was very handy out there. I think that's his third score out of four above 70 since his return. So he's been basically on fire. A lot of those points have come through tries as well, offloads and all that kind of thing. So he might be heading out the door, but he's still doing a job for them out there. Not a lot of other players in his side can say the same thing. Paddy Carrigan, 72 points in 80 minutes, definitely having to fill a lot of the workload while Payne Haas has been gone. With Joe Afengawa's suspension as well next week, he could see some more big game time as well as Payne Haas, which is great to see. They'll have the front row forward duo back. Kyle Flanagan, 92 points, 2 try assists, 9 goals, so definitely helped by the bloodbath there. But anyone that stuck faith with him after being dropped, definitely rewarded there. Back end of the year looks pretty handy for him. And BMOS, junk time. There were a couple of these tries scored over the weekend. Like Josh Mansell, who we'll get to, was probably a worse one than this, but junk. Just, I think it was 80th minute. Got the ball lobbed over by Teddy, strolled over for a try. It was looking like could have been a pretty low score for him, BMOS, on his return here. But definitely helped along by that last minute try. Boosted him from around 40 to 75. Great stuff for owners. And some of the bad here, Tucker Yaho, 28 points from just 27 minutes. So that wasn't injury related. I think they were just giving him a bit of a spell. He's had a couple of 80-minute games and carrying a lot of the workload while Hargraves has been out. So looking to just rest him and manage his minutes into the back end of the year, fair call. And Joey Manu, 26 points only. So second lowest score of the season. Had really been starting to turn it on at the center position. It wasn't really – he's always been one of those players that is fantastic on the NRL sense, but in terms of Supercoach, hasn't quite translated. But that looks like more of the old for Joey there. Alrighty, Warriors 36, flogging the Knights 6. Been a few blowouts that we didn't expect this weekend. Some of the good RTS, 123 points, 2 tries and back to, well, looked like back to his best. Good to see a stepping and happy RTS. Good times ahead for the Warriors, hopefully. And Jazz Tavunga, 92 points from 52 minutes with a late try. Again, junk time. Absolutely kissed on the DICK for a few owners this week. But strolled over, very, very easy try. Knights had given up at this point here. Jazz definitely helped along there. Did call him out, though, during the week on the Tuesday pod and said, I thought Tohu Harris would be outscored by him for the rest of the year. And basically that, didn't expect him to double his score, but Tavunga 92 versus Tohu 49. Not winning that battle, unfortunately for me, Tohu. On to the bad. Tohu, we mentioned, 49, lost 20 minutes through an HIA. Again, shifted around the park. It's just parked on the edge there like he was at the start of the year, and we're starting to see some of those scores return. This has been his worst score of the season, lowest score of the season, which is very, very surprising at this stage. Not helped by the HIA, but he has been getting rotated anyway. So I'm not sure how many minutes he would have gotten if the head was okay, but unfortunately that didn't help. But yeah, might be looking for a trade out if there's a decent second row option coming up over the coming weeks. Might even flip him to Tavanga, who knows. Ponga, 31, of course, he was the flopper of the week. 31 and did nothing. Very, very quiet out there. Normally is a bit of a flat track bully at times, and would have thought that this matchup here was a pretty spicy one for him. You'd want to hope you didn't have the captaincy on him over Teddy, which meant you could have VC'd Teddy and that kind of thing. I'm sure it stung a few owners. But he will be back. Mitch Barnett, I was a new owner, must have broken him. 43 points, battled a sternum issue, as we mentioned, picked it up in the first half, it played out around 55 minutes. So, yeah, not the worst score in the world, but not what we've been seeing from Barney. He's been getting 70-plus, so unfortunately just couldn't get much going here. Hopefully the pain management thing doesn't stifle him. Still got an offload away, but again, wasn't his usual self. And Dave Clemmer got a 58, which is a handy enough score, but he got sin-binned in the last 5 minutes, so just dumb stuff by Dave. Could have been 75-plus for him. Summed up the night's afternoon, though. What an absolute debacle. Speaking of debacle, Sharks 28 defeating the Cowboys 12. Well, how much longer do we have to go on this year? I think it's 9 in a row now for us. So anyway, the grand final is round 20 against the Broncos, so we will live to yee-haw another day. Speaking of the good, Nakora, 132 points. He's finally back, pushed Talakai to the bench, which stung a few owners. But a try and an assist on his return. He was very, very lethal out there. Looked like the benching's done him, or dropping has done him a world of good, kick up the ass, that kind of thing. 132 points, some horrible defense, drink water on him. Dejan Arce and Cohen Hess, they just couldn't. The combination's not there defensively, and I think it might get exposed over the coming weeks. So any edge forwards running at them might be worth a shout as the season wears on. Kyle Felt, 105 with 2 tries, probably the lone shining light for us there. Will Kennedy, for anyone that still owns him, 85, finally bounced back after a few low scores, couple of try assists, couple of line breaks for him, good stuff. Sione Katoa, 66, downgraded from 76, which was looking like his best, I think his highest score for the year, or since round 10, I should say, but got downgraded. 66 with a try, you'll take that, given he's still playing on that on that right edge, not getting a hell of a lot of ball from SJ because he's not there, but done his job here if you've still hung on to him. Talakai, 76, we mentioned, coming off the bench. That definitely spooked a few owners into parking him on their non-playing reserves. But for him, he came on to fill in for Jesse Ramian at centre, who had succumbed to an HIA concussion. So he filled in some time at centre there, which normally would sting a few super coach points out of them. But in his case, he ended up scoring a try. Again, very, very lucky for owners there. But it was the night for him. The Cowboys were pretty ordinary on that side of the field. So around 65 minutes from him, which is more than you'd expect. Without injury, he'd probably come in and fill 40, 45 maybe at coming off the bench there. But yeah, definitely helped along by Ramian's concussion there. And some of the bad, Josh Maguire, he was a big, not hugely talked about, but definitely an option for this week. A few people talking about him. 48 points from 80 minutes. So did get downgraded from this one, played all of those at lock. Surprisingly low score. Normally he's coming in and doing those rubbish hit ups and just stat punching. What do they call it? Stat padding. Paul Gallen stuff. This game, for whatever reason, couldn't get it going. Whether it might be the Jordan McLean factor, the fact that McLean's there and it's normally him when he's out where Maguire tends to benefit, or whether it's Asiata, that kind of thing, I'm not sure. But yeah, Maguire, pretty uninspiring game from him. And Connolly Lumelu, he would have stung a few if anyone had him in their non-playing reserves and needed to loop Teddy. He only got 27, which is, he was looking, could have been worse because he was named on the bench. So, 26, I guess you'd take if you saw that heading in. And Toby Rudolph, just the 41 points. So, again, handy enough, but probably time to move him on if you've still got him around. Panthers, 30. They're 11th in a row, 30, getting the job done over the Tigers, 6. So the Tigers hung in there for the first 30 minutes. So winning 6-0, Norfoluma got the early try, got the first try. And they looked like, possibly causing yet another boil over for the weekend, but not to be. Panthers ran away with it absolutely by the end. Some of the good, Brian Toole, his first game since round 8, bounced back in a big way with a 91. So, yeah, any member of this Penrith backline won't look out of place in a Supercoach side either. Toole, I've seen a few of his, Supercoaches with him in their side, so backing him in for a big end to the year, and that's certainly what he's done there for his first game. So 91, good stuff. Jerome Luai as well, 85. Similarly, if you've still held on to him, definitely rewarded here. Hugely impressive try, breaking through the line to score the Panthers first, and they really just went on with it from there. I was probably about 17 waters deep at this stage at the Gap Tavern, and a few Tigers fans around me weren't overly excited, but for Penrith, they just keep on motoring, and it's definitely on the back of a guy like Jerome Luai, unsung kind of hero, definitely not who you'd expect heading into the year, but what a season he's having, Jerome Luai, if you still got him. I think a few people played him as well that I've seen. So that's that time of year where you've got these sort of guys floating around. They can pull out a big score when needed. So anyone who's had to play him is very, very happy with that result. Nathan Cleary, well, he just can't have a quiet game. He did look like going a bit short here, but 76 points. Just the one try assist from him. Quite a few goals in that as well. But, yeah, he's just on another level this year. In terms of Supercoach halfbacks, I haven't seen one quite as consistent as him for quite some time. So definitely doing all the right things there, but just the 5 runs for the game. So it was a little quiet, a lot of the running done by Jerome Luai. So absolutely taking that 76 captaincy option every week when Teddy's not playing a side like the Broncos. Josh Mansell, 75, talked about a classic junk time try. Literally, the final minute of the game, they shifted it wide and he barged over. So any Mansell owners would have been doing it tough watching this one. Panthers tearing it up across the park, but not Mansell until the 80th minute. So you'll take them no matter how they come. It's all in the score sheet. So 75 for him. Nofo on the opposite end of the scale there, 67 with the opening try. So scored the opening. Thought he might be in for a big one here, but didn't quite go that way. But again, 67, when everyone's talking about him, is not a possible trade-up, but a guy that's going to go quiet over the back end of the year when there's some tough opposition. He's still finding a way. Didn't bust too many tackles. I think it was 2 or 3 by the end of the game. No major line breaks, anything like that, but it was a handy enough performance from him. Thankfully got that opening try to make sure he finished with a decent score, which he did. And Alex Twell, finally, seems to be getting back into the groove. 59 points from 53 minutes as he eases back in, splitting a role with Matty Eisenhuth, who's been charged this week. I think he won't miss a game if he takes the early plea, but Alex Twile doing some pretty good things out there. Be good to see him back if he can get to that 80-minute mark. I know we're getting late in the year, but could be a handy little pod in the back end of the season. Some of the bad here. Stephen Crichton got given a penalty try to bump his score up to 43, but without it, he was going criminally low for him. Not often that we see Crichton. He's been, sort of come out of the woodwork sort of Supercoach player this season, but very handy score. 43, I guess you'll take if you watch the game. Definitely could have been worse. Isaiah Yeo, horrible head knock, one of the worst you see for a couple of weeks anyway. 42 for him. Again, you'll take that. He missed the back half of the game there, I think about 30-odd minutes. 40-odd points from Yeo, you'll take. JFH, 44 in 51 minutes. So this guy has gone 6 games now without an offload or more than one tackle bust, which normally that's what JFH built his, I guess when he was an option for Supercoach, so what he was doing, he was offloading and busting tackles, getting through a big chunk of minutes. But all of those things basically evaporated. So JFH, for whatever reason, is in a bit of a Supercoach hole at the moment. Harry Grant made his return, 47 points in 57 minutes. Again, being eased back, you've got Little on the bench there, so he's not going to go back to the 80-minute player he once was. Luciano, 43, so a trialist game from him and didn't set one up either, so he's going to go a little dry there, 43. And Tommy Talau bombed a try, I guess you'd say. He fell short of the line, but only finished with 16, which is definitely well under what he could have done. Storm, 30, getting the job done over Manly 6. Big day out for the Storm on the sunny coast here. They look to be clicking back into gear, getting the Camerons back, definitely helped them out there, but that combination on the edge there, the left edge for them with Adokar, Pappenhausen, and Justin Ollam was absolutely lethal on the day here. So as we set up the top, Josh Adokar, 147 points. Got given a couple of tries. This might see one or two of those go away in upgrades, move back to a TC kind of thing, go to Pappenhausen, who knows. Very fun times ahead on Monday for scorers. But yeah, a couple of tries for him. He was, chased through off a Cam Smith 60-meter try assist kick. It was an unreal. So as soon as you saw it off Cam Smith's boot, you thought Adokar's got this, and he did. Won the race in a canter to score his first, and then followed up at the back end to seal the game in the dying stages, backing up off of Pappenhausen. So yeah, the combination was absolutely doing great things out there. Justin Ollam, quite an achiever here, not as popular a Supercoach option, but 95 points for him. And Pappenhausen, anyone that's still running him, you definitely won the race over Ponga this week, 116, possibly points to come as well. Definitely looking like the fruitful spot for him to be. Out on that left edge, it was just everything was clicking for them. AFB, Fenua Blake for Manly, 91. Not a lot of Sea Eagles up in the top scoring list on this day. A lot of Storm guys there, but AFB got a rare try off a short ball from Marty to Power. So the combination between the prop forwards was absolutely working in this case here, but you don't often see it, but definitely helped. I think he was on about 60 points then after 15 minutes and could have had a ton, might get one in upgrades, but anyone that's still got AFB or looking at him, definitely worth a little watch there in the back end of the year. Tapau himself, who set up the try, only got 62 from around 50-odd minutes, so not a huge score from him. He's probably the more relevant of the two there in terms of people that own them, but Tapau not doing hugely after getting that 20-point play to AFB. And some of the bad, Cam Munster, well, 50 points, got a late junk try contribution from an offload that set up the final Adokar try. Pappenhausen broke the line and got the ball away to Adokar, so just the 4 points in the TC for Cam Munster there. But again, just quiet, sort of easing himself back into the game. He was probably early coming back from his knee issue. I think the initial prognosis was around 3 weeks. He came back in two, so it might just be settling in. Again, he does play on that that left edge with Adokar and the like, but wasn't going through his hands to set the final try up or anything. It was all gone through Pappenhausen, unfortunately. So be interested to see where Munster sits in the back end of the year. I'm still playing him every week that I can. So looks like the Storm could be clicking into gear, which would be good stuff for him. And the other Cameron, 45 points, CS9 Smith, missed 3 goals, which is a bit of a downer. Could have been a huge points difference there. 16, I think, is the final. 12 points from the goals, and then you've got 6 negative points for missing him. So, yeah, 18-point turnaround it could have been. So 45 to around 65, what could have been, but the boot wasn't on. Gerbo, 49, 8 runs out of 12 below 8 metres, so that's a bit down. But absolutely robbed by Ruben Garrick on the edge there. He's put in I don't know if you would have seen it, but, Gerbo puts in a deft little chip over the top there out of nowhere. And Ruben Garrick, with no one around him, could have just put the ball down, copped a little bit of an unlucky bounce and cost Gerbo a try assist. So that would have bumped him up above that 49, but a bit of a quiet one for him. And Jerome Hughes for the Storm, he was a little quiet, 33, a bit like Munster. It was just Pappenhausen doing all the work there. So Hughes playing a bit of a bit part on his return. And DCE, 22. So we did talk about some big names at the top of the pod being in the floppers list this week in the bad. DCE, geez, 22 points. I know it's going to be a tough stretch for Manly in this back end. Season's probably done now. But I would have thought DCE would be turning up, against the Storm. Good rivalry there, but horribly low score for him. In the final game of the round, just finished as I went to air here, 34 for the Raiders getting the job done over the Bulldogs, 20. Again, like the Broncos game, Raiders went into the sheds down and then just came out and blew the opposition off the park. I don't know, the halftime speech must have worked. But all on the back of Jack Whiten, so Pod Whiten, but what a good pickup he's been. If you've picked him up for his run home, he's had that one down week against the Broncos, what could have been. But outside of that, he's cleaned up the Titans, cleaned up the Bulldogs here for 109. So a couple of tries in very quick succession. Not too much else outside of that, a couple of good and handy runs. But again, he's that high-impact player. All of those points, but what is it, 70-odd from those two tries in about 10 minutes. So you absolutely take that for any Whiten owners out there. Might have been a good way to finish your week. Could have stung some head-to-head finals, I'm sure. Josh Papali, back to the bench, did that weird rotation again where Ricky Stewart played a few of them, Hudson Young and Papali and Havili off the bench and the other guys on the field. In this case, didn't do much to dampen Papali's return because he was massive off the bench there, 54 minutes for that 89 points, including a little try assist. So put a nice little short ball on for Hudson Young to cross. Don't often see it from the big fella, but he was absolutely on. in this case. And I don't know, maybe the benching does good things for him. Gets him running against tired forwards. He had the offload going in this one as well. So I don't think I'd read too much into it. These sort of late switches that Ricky's been pulling definitely didn't do much to hurt Papali there, so you'll absolutely take that. And in the bad here, Will Hopewadi, 22. So I talked about him earlier in the week as being a very safe center wing option, but very poor score from him here. Couldn't get a lot going. The combination out on the edge with Watene Zalesniak didn't bear too much fruit. DWZ not having the best night out there, and could have been some try assist for Hopewadi if he ran the right line, that kind of thing, but not to be. Hopewadi was okay running the ball back, but just not heavily involved for him. And the Raiders back line, so the likes of Nickel Klokstad, Rapana, Croker, Curtis Scott, who's injured, even Nick Kotrick, just not getting a lot of work. So I think the max out of those guys was Nickel Klokstad, who got about 38. So the rest of them, a bit of work to do if you've backed them in for the back end of the year, given their run. But it was the likes of Jack Whiten so far doing that sort of stuff. And so I missed one of the goods here, RFM, Fatala Mariner, 96 points and a try. He's been finding the line at pretty regular intervals. So he's when he does score, he can go absolutely massively. He's had a quiet couple of rounds, 49, 17 and 54 heading into this game here, but bounced back, scoring one of his trademark barge over tries. So anyone that's got Fatala Mariner in their second row is a bit of a pod option. You've rounded your week out with a handy score there. And that's going to round out the pod. What do we get? 35 minutes. I'm surprised I made it through. I'm going to go straight to bed after this one. Big week of work ahead and big week of Supercoach. It's the finals. Finals are here. Really is the back end of the year now. Hopefully you've still stuck around. You've got your Monday updates. Might be make or break for that top eight and all that sort of stuff. But it's a fun time of year. NRL finals not too far away. But we'll be back on Tuesday to go through all the round 17 teamless news, trades, all the usual gear. And we'll chat to you then. For now, for Sunday nights, JT, bidding you yee-haw for now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.